before a blended orange, pink and purple background in white letters, Tubi Originals. A piece of blue film reel forms a letter I between a B and a P, Blue Ice Pictures. In a countryside, a grey, cloudy sky covers an open plain of long yellow grass. Silhouettes of mountains lie in the distance and a thin road stretches to the horizon. A car drives along it. It goes around a bend and gradually slows down, stopping opposite a rusted metal drum.
You have arrived at your destination.
A woman in her 20s with long fuchsia hair and a matching low-cut dress takes her phone from the dashboard. She gets out of her old blue hatchback, shuts the door and looks at her surroundings, bewildered. She walks in front of the car in her bright pink stilettos and unlocks her phone. She puts her hand to her brow and looks around, distressed, breathing heavily. She makes a phone call.
Hi, it's Laura. I am at the location you sent, but there's nothing here. If you hadn't paid me already, I'd think it's some kind of weird joke. What do you want me to do now? Call me back.
Lara looks around again. On the other side of the road, she spots a thin, dark red gift box wedged between a gate and the post. She hurries over and picks it up. Across the front, in shiny gold letters, the word Lara. Inside the box, she finds a white and gold card reading, "Thank you." Lara closes the box and walks towards the car, frightened. She brings a hand to her head and staggers to the side, dizzy. Reaching the bonnet of her car, she places the box on it, then falls to her knees. Lara puts a hand on her chest, gasping for air. She drops to the ground and lands on her back at the edge of the long, dried grass. A pair of brown leather boots and dark blue cuffed jeans walk towards Lara as she lies with her arms stretched out. The left toe cap steps on her hair. Hands in leather gloves reach down and grab her by the arms, then drag her away from her car. On Lara's bonnet, the gold ribbon hangs out of the gift box and over the side of her car, gently flapping in the wind. The person goes back to the bonnet and picks up the box. They put it inside a polythene lock bag with a bright yellow biohazard sticker on the outside. In bold white letters that turn red, title, Invasive. On the terrace of a luxury modern home in the mountains, a waiter offers a tray of hors d'oeuvres to elegantly dressed party guests. Two waiters mimic the guests.
Oh, my Tam. Why, thank you. We only just come back from our sixth vacation this year. Quaint little island.
No, oh, really? Which one was it? Was it Bali? Was Zanzibar?
No. Doesn't even have a name yet. We've only just bought it.
Check out this guy. He's so old. He's like, "Hello, this is my girlfriend. After my first divorce, she was born."
Yeah, I say the heart wants what it wants, darling. Mine has a soft spot for seven figures.
Well, unfortunately, I only have soft spots without the Viagra.
Oh, no. Oh,
God. This house is insane.
I know. Whoever convinced billionaires that brutalism was cool deserves an award.
Oh, you have 50 million? How about Bunker Chic?
Psh, try half a billion. He owns the whole mountain.
No.
Yeah. And he's leaving tomorrow.
The woman looks thoughtful.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So there I hanging off the side of the Matterhorn. My guide's taken off with the backup ropes. So now, I have no choice but to make the damn jump. Anyway, I make the leap, just as the health secretary calls, wanting to talk vaccine export regulations. So I answer, midair, wind's howling. Brian, you have exactly 978 meters to negotiate. Make it count.
Mr. Patton. Thank you for the invitation.
I'm surprised that you showed up. Thought you would have had enough of me by now. Martin's doing a profile piece.
Hard to believe there was still an estate I hadn't seen. I mean, wasn't this mountain once a nuclear lab or something, huh?
Oh, perhaps decades ago. Now it's just my home away from home. Quiet corner for some R&R. That's research and writing.
We have very different ideas of R&R. But speaking of writing, got an advanced copy.
Medicine's Maverick. Babe, I love it.
Editors wanted to go with Pharma's Prodigy, but I convinced them otherwise.
The self-made billionaire with a passion for more than just profit, Pierce Patton is on the cusp of unveiling his most ambitious project yet.
A photo of Pierce on the front cover.
You went with this photo?
Yeah, it's great.
I think you look gorgeous.
Thank you, darling. This isn't one of the photos that I approved.
No, I took it from another folder. I love it. You look courageous.
I'm sure we can change it.
Oh, it's already gone to print. It's got a great response. People are moved by your work, Mr. Patton.
Pierce. Mr. Patton's my father. I can't wait to read it.
I hope that the rest of the 1% take note. Maybe help us with our problems down here first before jetting off to Mars, huh?
I've always been a bit more down to earth.
Oh, here. Wouldn't want that falling in the foie gras. Right. If it's daredevil stories you're after, I was shooting on top of the San Marco Campanile recently. Darling Pierce here decided he wanted to.
The waitress goes down an interior staircase. The bottom, she opens a towering wood panel door.
Jeez.
She gazes at its height.
Insane.
The waitress goes outside and meets her colleague by the catering van. He's pointing a scanner at the house.
You know, for the amount of expensive shit he's got in here, dude does not like cameras.
How many?
None. I mean, he's got a video doorbell, but that's it. It's weird, right?
I mean, not like you have to worry about anyone else when you own the whole freaking mountain. So.
It's weird, but it is perfect.
He's out tomorrow?
Yeah. We just have to lay low tonight, and then it's all ours.
At night, catering staff carry crates out of the house. The waiter and waitress follow, then hang back and watch them go. They open their crate and pull out two backpacks. The waitress walks off into the house. The waiter checks around, then goes downstairs. He waits at the bottom with his back against the wall. The waitress comes down and emerges through a door beside him. He turns his head to her, and she passes him a backpack.
All good?
Yeah. Signed us out. Martha saw me leave.
Cool. We'll lay low until they're asleep.
Home sweet home.
They go through the door, and he closes it. The waiter and waitress sit on the floor inside a green-lit utility closet. He sleeps, sitting with his back resting on pipework, while she leans against his chest using her phone. The waitress flicks through cheerful pictures of herself and an older lady hugging and smiling. A text message pops up from Dad that reads, "Can you please answer my calls?" She stares at it, then scrolls to another picture of herself and the woman. She exhales deeply, then strokes the waiter's hand to wake him up.
Hey. Right. It's time.
They sneak into the garage. Rye passes a black Maserati, then picks up a key hanging on a hook above a workbench.
Nice. Keep up.
They walk through the house. Rye puts his backpack down on the kitchen island, and the waitress walks through a narrow corridor where a large piece of framed modern art hangs on the wall. She goes into the kitchen and finds Rye snacking on hors d'oeuvres with the fridge wide open.
Dude, what the fuck? Okay, fine, let's just take it and go. Shh, let's go.
The fridge's open door alarm bleeps. She takes a handful of fruit and he puts the rest back. They go down a staircase.
Alright, so his bedroom's on the other side. We should stay in this wing.
Oh, just his spare wing.
The waitress walks through an ensuite bathroom, then goes into the bedroom where she finds Rye stretched out across the bed.
Rye.
Oh, but the thread count, okay? These sheets.
Come on, you know the rules.
Okay. Rye. Fine, fine. Nobody. Let's baby back in the closet.
Great.
A large walk-in closet.
We've had worse.
It's bigger than my childhood bedroom. Who needs linen when you have sleeping bags?
Right?
They pull sleeping bags out of their backpacks. Daytime, flying over the clifftop mansion nestled in greenery, calm rippling waves drift across the ocean below. Inside, a pair of fluffy slippers sit in the closet's doorway. The waitress wakes up while Rye sleeps beside her on his back. She pulls her sleeping bag down and stretches her arms above her head. Sitting up, she stretches her neck, then turns to him. Outside, Pierce stands at the edge of his pool in swimwear doing yoga. He tickles his partner's head as she walks over. The waitress watches them through a gap in the wall.
When should I meet you in Singapore?
I have to stabilize the prototype and then I'll be in the air.
Why don't I cancel the shoot?
Because we don't know. You've been looking forward to this. I'll be fine.
But who's gonna help you relax? You work too hard.
Pierce and his partner kiss at the front door.
Speaking of hard.
They kiss again, passionately.
Babe, enjoy New York. Let me get this project up and running, and then I'm all yours.
Promise.
They leave the house, and the waitress peers at the front door, hiding behind a wall. She hurries over to a window where she sees them kiss and get into separate cars. Pierce's Maserati leaves the driveway, and the waitress smiles to herself. She looks back into the house and walks away. In a marble bathroom, water falls from a shower. The waitress stands under it with her eyes shut. Later, she walks through a bedroom wearing a t-shirt and joggers. Stopping at a large open window, the sun glares on her face as she looks at the mountainous landscape.
Wow.
In the kitchen, she takes two coffees from a machine built into the wall. She takes them into the closet where Rye is still sleeping.
Hey, sleepyhead. Cat's away. Come out and play. I have coffee.
He wakes up and she passes him a glass mug. Outside, they walk onto Pierce's pool decking.
Right. Nah, dude, let's keep it down.
Staff's all gone. Hey, we're the only people on the whole fucking mountain!
Okay. I surrender.
I know you do. It's boogie time. It's boogie time.
Wearing an open robe, Rai circles her and they both dance. Inside, he holds a decorative mask statue over his face. The waitress stretches her back over an exercise ball, then he pretends to topple over a glass statue. They dance in unison on the pool decking, then Rai somersaults over a sofa arm. He takes a photo of the waitress rolling over the exercise ball, then she spins in his arms between two staircases. The waitress jumps in the pool and bubbles surround her. She reaches the bottom and momentarily sits in a meditative stance. The bubbles float away as she gradually rises to the surface. She swims to the edge of the pool where Rai's lying on a lounger swiping on a dating app.
This guy's profile says under 200k annually, swipe left. I mean, you gotta admire the audacity, right?
Rai, have you like maybe thought about not looking at asshole guy profiles? Like, just maybe?
No.
No?
No, never crossed my mind. Got daddy issues, Kay.
Clearly.
Why can't I find one like this?
A farmer bro?
A rich bro. Listen to this, right? The true measure of a man's wealth lies within the legacy he leaves behind for others and not in his bank account. Tell me that's not some Bruce Wayne bullshit right there.
Why are rich dudes so obsessed with legacy? It's like they've got so much money, they can't just buy things anymore. Now they're shopping for immortality.
Well, that's because a billionaire's midlife crisis is like next level. Like, why would you buy a Ferrari when you could just launch yourself in orbit?
I guess.
Okay, your necklace. Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah. Kay refastens her gold necklace. Her phone pings and she looks at the screen.
Is that your old man again?
Yeah.
It's just calls.
Rather he didn't.
Yeah, well, fuck him, right? We're living the life, baby.
Rai steps to the edge of the pool, swings his arms and falls in. Inside the house, Kay's sitting on the sofa looking at her phone. She plays a voice note from Dad. She looks thoughtful and swings her legs onto the sofa. She takes her earphones out of her pocket and goes to put one in.
Riley?
Rai is sitting on the toilet, continuously swiping right on his phone. A message on his dating app reads, Crypto Wolf Selfie? Rai pulls a feasible expression. Kay puts her earphones back in. She looks round and gets up, curious, taking out the earphone. The house lift displays an upward arrow and the letter G. Kay walks through the kitchen and turns a corner. She takes a few steps down an open corridor, then stares at the closed lift doors and takes a deep breath. They open and Rai steps out dressed.
Don't be mad.
Why? What did you break?
No, nothing. Just a billionaire's heart, hopefully. I'm heading out.
Really? I thought we could check out the cinema room tonight.
Yeah, and you should totally do that. I will be out hunting for a sugar daddy, but you can watch whatever you want. I'll be home soon. Like Mother always said, if you're not in bed by 10, come home.
This isn't a hotel, Rai. You can't just stroll back in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tell that to my key fob.
Outside.
Wow, Rai. A whole 5-mile hike just for a booty call.
Billionaire booty.
I hope it's worth it.
Yeah, well, me too. But hey, while I'm gone, enjoy the mansion. walk around naked, drink a little bit, but put something on before I get home. God knows I don't want to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Love you, bye!
Bye.
Rye heads off through a narrow security gate. Kay turns around and stares at the house with the ocean behind it. Inside, the setting sun glares through a window as Kay lies down in front of it. She puts her earphones in, taps her phone, then puts it down and rests her hands on her stomach. She closes her eyes. Dusk fades to night and the swimming pool's deck lighting turns on. A cobalt sky covers the house. Kay's fast asleep on top of the duvet. A vehicle's headlights shine through the windowed walls and her eyes jolt open, startled. She takes out her earphones and leaps to her feet. Crouching down, she sneaks over to a window and looks at the driveway. The Maserati pulls in. She rushes back to the bed and smooths the duvet. Running down the stairs, she sees the front door open and diverts onto the middle floor.
Village in Suriname. Kids holding a snake as thick as my arm, but he's petrified of needles. Says he'll take the shot if I hold the snake.
Right, so this is like an Indiana Jones level of fear you have for them.
Oh, worse. But what could I do? The kid needed the vaccine. It's not like I was put in a Raiders of the Lost Ark scenario.
You see, endless stories.
Kay's behind the sofa.
Thanks again for taking follow-up questions.
My pleasure.
So, Pierce, you patented your first drug when you were 23.
Drink?
Yeah. Next. Since then, you've diversified into various cutting-edge medical technologies.
82 Bordeaux or 96 Barolo?
If it's wine, I'm fine. Recently, you made massive investments into oncological research and biotech startups. This new venture, it's...
I went with a Chateau de Sir.
Okay. I think that's worth more than my car. So, recently, you said that you've been working on the holy grail of medicine, right?
This wine, it's not just about the name. Or the prestige. It's about time. Every bottle embodies decades of meticulous cultivation. Years of perfecting the blend. And patience. And letting it mature to this exact moment of perfection.
Pierce hands Martin a glass of red wine.
Guess that's why they charge so much for it, huh?
They toast and Martin takes a sip. Pierce smells his before drinking a mouthful.
Time is everything.
Pierce walks to the kitchen island.
Time is the one thing that I can't buy. So you see, it's a commodity that I value. Which is why I find it particularly vexing when my time is wasted.
I'm sorry, I don't follow.
Why did you choose that photo? I approved 3 photographs from that shoot. That is not one of them.
I thought...
Thought? What? That your opinion meant more than mine?
No, Mr. Patton, I didn't...
238,000 dollars.
Sorry, what?
Martin's groggy.
That is an hour of my time, and I gave you 5. Your gratitude? Blatant defiance.
Pierce drinks as Martin looks around uncomfortably.
No, that's not... I'm sorry, I feel...
Martin stands but drops back onto the sofa. Kay looks scared. Martin looks up at Pierce.
You drugged the wine. Please, it's a $10,000 bottle of wine. But I did drug you.
Pierce picks up Martin's glass and moves it.
Drugging drinks is an imprecise science. Amateurs play at that. The compound you took requires purity, directness. Ingestion would render it impotent. Transdermally, though, it works its magic. Unadulterated and unhindered.
He peels a small patch off Martin's glass.
I developed this in med school. Never released it, though. My little secret, this one.
Why are you doing this?
You can atone for the hours that you stole from me. Because now you have a purpose.
Martin lies on the sofa. Pierce's phone rings and he stands to answer it. Kay listens.
What the fuck?
Sweetheart, I'm just a little busy with work.
Martin falls off the sofa.
No. Stay in the apartment in the city. You must be exhausted.
He makes eye contact with Kay.
I'll call you back in a moment. All right.
Pierce hangs up and puts his phone in his pocket. He grabs Martin's head and drags him away. Kay lies on the floor and watches under the sofa, terrified. She waits for them to turn the corner, then gets to her feet, leaving her gold necklace behind. She runs towards the kitchen worktop and knocks into the glass of wine. It slides away and she catches it before it falls, but spills some on the floor. Kay puts it back and runs off into the house. Turning a corner, she hastily sneaks along a passage before arriving at the main staircase. She checks around, then quickly goes down it. At the bottom, she goes into her and Rye's closet and takes out her phone, kneeling on the floor.
Hey, you've reached Riley. I will not listen to this voicemail.
Kay looks panicked and gathers her belongings. Pierce strides back into the kitchen and sees the spilt wine on the floor. He looks alarmed and checks behind the kitchen island. Pacing over to the sofa, he finds Kay's necklace behind it. In the closet, Kay finishes packing and dials 911 on her phone.
I need the police.
Pierce activates a home security lockdown.
Fuck, I don't know the address. It's Pierce Patton's house. Hello?
The overhead light in the closet turns green. Kay panics and sneaks to the open door. She steps out.
Who are you? You have illegally entered my home. The entire house is on lockdown. There is no way out. Unless you show yourself.
Kay tries to open a door, but fails.
I don't know what you thought you saw, but if you come out now, we can discuss this like civilized individuals.
Pierce is standing by the staircase holding an automatic gun. Kay sneaks down a narrow, green-lit corridor. She gets to the end and nervously creeps out. She runs over to a closed door and rattles the handle, but it doesn't open. She goes to the main staircase and quickly tiptoes up it. Reaching the middle floor, Kay darts into a living room.
You're trespassing in my home. It's in your best interest not to prolong this little game of hide and seek any longer.
Pierce walks in with his gun. Kay's hiding behind an L-shaped sofa and feels his presence. He walks forward and Kay crawls around to the shorter part of the L, staying out of view. He checks around the back of the long part and stares at a large bronze statue. Pierce walks away and Kay picks up a chunky white ornament from a shelf beside her. She turns around and throws it down to the ground floor. Pierce hears it land and hurries down the main staircase. Kay gets to her feet and swiftly tiptoes over to the stairs. She hurries up them and reaches Pierce's window-walled office. Kay runs over to a sliding glass door. She tries to open it, but it's locked. She tries to open two more to the side, but they're also locked. Kay turns back around, panicking. She runs over to Pierce's desk and wheels a chair back to the corner door. She spins the seat around, picks it up with both arms, and weakly throws it at the window. It rattles slightly, and the chair lands on the floor. Kay stands the chair up and lifts it again. She goes to swing it, but sees Pierce standing on the other side of the glass, coldly staring at her. Kay drops the chair and backs away, terrified. She runs off and Pierce calmly watches her. Kay runs down the main staircase and reaches the front door. She tugs at it, but it doesn't open. Turning back, she runs up to the middle floor and tries to open the balcony exit, but fails. She goes into the kitchen, where she tries to open the swimming pool door, but it doesn't open. Kay paces alongside the kitchen island. She passes the spilt wine and reaches another glass door in the corner of the living space. She tries to open it, but it doesn't move. Kay tries a window on the other side of the room, then a door to her left. She walks into the middle of the living space and the ceiling lights start changing colour, like party lights. Kay covers her ears as the music blares around the house. Standing in his office, Pierce lowers his phone as the lights above him fade between green, pink, and purple. He starts feeling the groove of the music, then turns to the side, dancing on the spot. Kay looks around, scared. In the office, Pierce dances down the side of his desk, lifting his knees and arms up in a marching motion. He grabs his gun and leaves while Kay's downstairs with her hands over her ears. She leaves the living space and goes down a thin corridor. At the end, she notices an air vent in the wall. Kay takes a coin out of her pocket, wedges it in the vent screws and starts twisting. Pierce walks into her sleeping closet and sees the two glass coffee mugs and a plate of scraps. He tilts his head and steps towards it, looking inquisitive. Kay pulls the grate away from the wall and gently places it on the floor, checking behind her. She sees a fan unit sitting in the vent and gives it a thump. Pierce turns a corner and creeps down a thin staircase, wielding his gun. Strikes her palm into the unit, panicking. He gets to the bottom of the stairs and stares ahead with a sinister look. Kay repeatedly whacks the fan and it rattles backwards. Pierce pulls out his phone and turns off the music. Kay turns around, startled. She gives the unit two more heavy thumps and it drops on the ground outside. Pierce walks on and Kay climbs through the vent. Outside, she grasps a ledge above her head and pulls herself up. She gets onto a rooftop of grey pebbles and puts her arms out to the side, steadying herself. Taking a step down onto a lower roof, she walks over to the edge where a sea of bright city lights fill the dark horizon. Kay looks at the ground as the colourful party lights illuminate the room underneath her. She hurries to the other side of the roof and looks down. She turns around, looking nervous with tears in her eyes. Pierce reaches the removed vent and looks out at the roof. He turns around and hurries off. Kay walks to the edge of the office roof where a long LED-lit swimming pool lies in the terrace beneath her. She checks around, then looks down again. Shaking her arms out, she breathes heavily and composes herself. Kay looks down at the pool and exhales deeply. She takes a few strides back, then sprints forward. Leaping off the edge, she splays her arms and legs out and lands in the pool. Pierce walks through the living space at the end of the kitchen. He reaches a door, pulls out his phone and deactivates the lock. He goes outside and checks around, looking up at the roof. Kay lifts herself out of the pool and gets to her feet. She looks around quickly, then hurries off. Pierce strides through the garden with his gun. He turns a corner and reaches the decking beside the swimming pool. He paces along it, keeping a fixed gaze on the office roof above him. Looking to the side, he sees an inflatable chair floating at the edge of the pool and stops. He steps towards it. Kay's holding her breath underneath it. Pierce turns his head away, then looks down at the decking. He notices a trail of water leading to the house and follows it. Once he's walked far enough away, Kay swims to the edge of the inflatable and surfaces. She swims to the edge of the pool. Resting her forearms on the edge of the pool, she lifts herself up, pulling her torso out. A figure steps onto the deck behind her. Kay turns and falls back into the water, terrified. Pierce grabs her backpack and drops it by his side. Kay paddles, staring at him as he takes his earphone out, smiling.
You're just a child. What are you doing here?
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Come on.
He pushes the inflatable out of the way.
Here, let me help you.
Pierce bends down and holds out his hand. Kay stares at it and he stands back up.
How'd you get in here?
I'm sorry, please just let me go.
I recognize you from the catering company. Well, never using that company again. Why are you in my home?
I'm sorry.
That's not an answer.
I had nowhere else to go. Please let me go.
Who knows you're here?
No one. I didn't see anything, I promise.
You're not a good liar. What you saw was necessary. What's your name?
He calmly brings the gun up in front of him, pointing at the ground.
Well, your name. Seems fair, seeing as you've been living in my house, watching me, invading my privacy.
He narrows his eyes at Kay, then he puts his hand in his pocket and takes out her gold necklace.
Here. What's the story behind this one? A souvenir from another of your squatting adventures? What'll I find of mine in here? It's time to get out of my pool now, Kay. Or I could use this and you could take a nap. But I warn you, I'm not getting these ketone pants wet getting you out.
She swims to the side, scared, and Pierce steps with her.
No, please, no.
Well, come on.
She swims back to the middle, and he follows.
My friend knows I'm here, and he'll call for help.
Will he? What'll he say? Haven't heard from my squatter friend in a while. Better check the last place she broke into.
Pierce slowly lifts his gun up and aims at her. He hears the alarm and takes out his phone. He crouches down at the edge of the pool and turns the screen towards her, showing a policeman getting out of his car.
Did you call them, Kay?
Pierce looks disapproving and shakes his head. She looks at him fearful.
I'll take care of this.
He clicks a button on his phone and a metal pool cover begins sliding over the water. Kay swims to the edge and watches it approach, terrified. It covers the pool, leaving a thin gap for her to breathe between it and the water.
Don't go anywhere.
The lone officer walks to the front door where Pierce is waiting.
Evening, sir. Officer Brown?
Officer, how can I help you?
I'm responding to a 911 call from this residence.
How strange. When was this?
Very recently. Is there anyone else in the house with you?
It's just me, officer.
Mind if I take a look around the premises?
Oh, please. Be my guest.
Officer Brown goes in.
You live here alone?
I do.
It's big.
Thank you.
Pierce shuts the door and follows him. They walk down the side of the kitchen island.
Can I get you a drink?
No, thank you.
Brown approaches the spilt wine.
My girlfriend can be a little clumsy.
She here?
Well, like I said, it's just me.
Brown walks on. Pierce stays back and pulls out his phone. He turns on signal jammer, then opens the contact Commissioner Landon from a long list. He looks thoughtful. Outside by the pool, Kay takes a breath and goes underwater to look around. In the house, Brown walks around a corner and down a narrow corridor of art. He glances into the rooms leading off it and reaches Pierce, who is waiting at the end. Brown looks to his side, sees the elevator, and looks back at Pierce.
That leads directly to my office. My field is highly sensitive. I'm afraid I can't allow you in there.
Sir, your cooperation would be greatly appreciated.
My cooperation? I think it's best if we contact Peter Landon.
You're acquainted with Commissioner Landon?
Oh, we've played tennis for years. He's yet to win a set. I actually just sent him a quick text to update him. We've dealt with this sort of thing before. I'm the target demographic for pranksters, I'm afraid. We're probably dealing with another bored teenager. Oh. Speak of the devil.
Brown takes out his phone.
Could you just give me one moment?
Yeah.
Hi, sir. No, not at all, sir. I wasn't aware of who it was, sir.
Underwater, Kay swims to the other side of the pool where a red light's flashing inside a sensor. She hits it, then floats up to the gap for air. She goes back under and puts her hands over the domed sensor.
Yes, sir. Not a problem. Absolutely.
Brown hangs up. Pierce stands facing away from him with a foreboding look.
All good?
McKay repeatedly punches the sensor.
Again, sir, I am terribly sorry for disturbing you.
Not at all. I appreciate you checking in.
Brown leaves through the front door.
Oh, and if there's anything I can ever do for you.
Pierce shuts it. Kay continues punching the sensor, then goes back up to the surface for another breath. She goes back under and gives it several more whacks. Cracking the protective casing, the red light stops flashing, and the pool cover opens, creating a gap. Kay swims to it and pushes the cover further back. She places her palms down on the pool decking and lifts herself up. She gets her leg up onto the decking, then flops her body out. Kay brings her other leg up and crawls onto the main deck, then collapses onto her side. Kay leaps to her feet and runs over to the glass barrier above the drive.
When will you please obey?
The police car drives away and the automatic gates begin to close. Kay runs down the outdoor staircase to the driveway. She hurries towards the gate, but it finishes closing. Pierce is standing at the edge of the pool above the cover's gap. He stares ahead thoughtfully, then turns around and walks away. In his office, he takes clothing out of Kay's backpack and places it on his desk. Pierce pulls out her purse, opens it, and sees her ID card with California printed above her photo. He flicks through the card holders and takes out a photo. It shows Kay and the old woman smiling together. Kay sprints down the garden passageway, checking behind her. She gets to the side of the house and runs across a lawn. She reaches the security gate Rye left through and frantically rattles the handle. It doesn't open. Kay runs back towards the house. In the office, Pierce is scrolling through Kay's social media on his laptop. He sees a photo of Rye and Kay in their work uniforms with the caption, "Working for the man." He scrolls to a photo of Kay and the older woman captioned, "Miss you every day, Mom." Two comments read, "Sorry for your loss" and "Fuck cancer." Outside, Kay goes down a narrow staircase to a wooden door. She rattles the handle, but it doesn't open. Kay barges through it and goes into the garage. She looks for the key fobs, but they're not on the worktop. She tries to open the Maserati's door, but it doesn't move. Kay goes around to a 4x4 on the other side, opens the driver's door and sets off an alarm. In the office, Pierce hears the alarm and shuts the laptop. He picks up his gun and walks away from the desk. Kay searches the 4x4's glove box, then slams it shut, frustrated. She goes back to the worktop. She finds a key fob in a drawer. She opens a door.
Kay! We got off to the wrong start. I thought you were just a squatter, a freeloader, but there's depth for you, Kay.
Pierce reaches the sliding door and peers into the garage. He deactivates the car alarm from his phone and takes out his earphone, then steps in. Kay's hiding under the 4x4.
Are you aware of my work? I bring healing, Kay. I offer cures or conquer diseases previously thought unbeatable. To defy the very fabric of life itself.
Pierce scans his eyes across the floor.
Reshaping the narrative of nature.
is an unparalleled power.
He walks between the Maserati and 4x4. Kay watches him stop.
Imagine being a part of that, Kay.
She stares at his feet and clicks a button on the key fob. The garage shutter begins to rise and Pierce turns to it. He steps towards the shutter and Kay shuffles out from under the car. She hurries quietly towards a door and the shutter finishes lifting. She nudges the door and Pierce turns to look. Kay goes through and sneaks down a short passageway. At the end, she gets to the lift and opens the door. Martin is on an upright restraining bed, paralyzed, staring at Kay with fierce eyes.
Are you okay?
Martin's nostrils flare, unable to speak. Pierce goes back through the garage and into the short passageway. He opens the lift's door and sees Martin with short, staggered breaths and wide, roving eyes.
We've had a minor hiccup.
Pierce notices a small panel door open on the lift wall and closes it.
I promise I will get to you momentarily.
He straightens Martin's collar. Martin looks at him furiously and Pierce goes back down the passageway. Kay emerges from behind Martin's bed and watches the lift door close. She looks at the small panel curiously and opens it. She finds a single silver button and presses it. The lift starts to shake and the lights above her fade and flash. Pulling herself up, she stands at the side of Martin's bed as he glances at her from the corner of his eye. His eyes scan around the lift, and Kay looks around inquisitively. Pierce walks up a staircase leading to the top floor of the house. Kay looks around anxiously as Martin breathes sharply. The lift comes to a sudden stop and Kay jumps. The door slides open, revealing a dimly lit corridor with several doorways leading off on either side. Kay steps around Martin's bed. She turns back to him and they exchange a glance. She cautiously takes a few steps into the wide corridor, terrified. The lift door abruptly slides shut.
No!
Kay sprints back and thumps her fists on it, frustrated. Turning back, she takes deep breaths and starts walking. Kay passes a set of open double doors to the side of her, then moves on and passes another doorway. Looking left and right, she passes more passageways and reaches the end wall. She turns to the side and sees a narrow corridor with a closed door at the end of it. With her back to the wall, she looks to the other side and sees a similar passage with a flickering light at the end. Kay slowly moves down the flickering passageway and looks at the wood-paneled ceiling above her. In the house, Pierce walks around the main staircase on the middle floor. He reaches the top step, peers down it, then looks around him. He shudders, frustrated.
Where are you?
Kay reaches the end of the corridor and turns a corner. She walks forward and gets to a dark wooden door with a square window. She looks through and sees a well-lit room with a medical bed. She gasps and backs off. Kay continues down the passageway and reaches another turn. She looks to her left and sees a set of closed doors at the end. She turns her head back, then walks on to an open doorway. Kay cautiously walks into the room where a microscope machine sits on a metal table and a bright monitor is mounted on the side of a standalone chamber. She looks at the worktop beside her, where a bright lamp shines over Petri dishes. Kay steps towards the chamber and looks through its porthole window. Thin wisps of smoke rise inside it. Stepping back, she turns to her side and sees a large medical machine covered in coloured lights sitting beside drip bags mounted on poles. Kay looks at the Petri dishes on the metal worktop. She picks one up and sees 5 transdermal patches. She takes one out of the dish and holds it up, examining it at eye level. She leaves the room and walks into a dimly lit laboratory. A green ceiling light shines above her and several purple backlights glare from medical machines around the room. Kay walks past a stack of shelves where several jars are filled with white fleshy lumps immersed in clear fluid. She stares at them, tense. Walking through the lab, she passes a long desk of various medical tools and sees a monitor. Kay leans forward to read its display, then notices a high metal shelf beside her. A corpse's feet poke out the end of a blanket. Kay jumps backwards and covers her mouth in terror. She lowers her hands and steps towards the corpse, breathing heavily. Walking around the mortuary shelving, she sees a monitor at the end displaying microscopic images of cells. She looks scared and the lights ahead of her suddenly turn on. Kay is stunned. She sees Lara's disfigured, scrawny body with one eye, scraggly fuchsia hair and a mutilated mouth suspended from the ceiling behind a glass enclosure. Several medical tubes run out of her body attached to drip bags of dark fluid. Kay slowly approaches her, horrified. She gulps and tears run from her eyes. Lara's ribcage bursts through her skin and bulbous lumps under her jaw cover her withered neck. Pierce's phone bleeps and he takes it out of his pocket. Its screen reads, "Warning, laboratory." He turns around and hurries off. Kay sees another body and puts a hand over her mouth, terrified. A bald male in a white vest with one arm in a shackle and the other arm decaying away with clusters of tumoured flesh hangs from the ceiling wearing a gas mask. Kay reaches another test subject, an older man with a long white beard and a checkered shirt hanging in shackles. His leg is decayed from the knee down, covered in bulbous flesh. She reaches a glass enclosure at the end where a fully limbed man with a facial tumour hangs in a gas mask. His arm moves forward, twitching his fingers, and his head gently rocks to the side. Kay takes out her phone and films him. Pierce gets to the lift and sees the button panel's door is open. Kay films the bald man as he slowly rotates his head. She goes back to Lara, trembling. Kay holds her phone in front of her and puts Lara in the center of the frame. She keeps filming as she steps towards her, shaking. Lara suddenly jolts her head up and faces Kay. Kay jumps back and drops her phone. It falls underneath Lara's glass enclosure. She goes back and gets on her hands and knees, trying to grab it through the gap under the glass door. Lara suddenly snaps forward in her shackles and claps her hands. Terrified, Kay sprints away and leaves her phone behind. She scurries out of the lab and goes through a doorway, running down a narrow passage. Kay gets to the end and sees Pierce walking out of the lift with his gun. She freezes and he walks towards her.
Patience is a virtue, Kay. Your invitation down here was forthcoming.
She looks scared and runs back the way she came. Pierce strides after her and Kay goes back into the lab.
Kaylee?
Kay hides behind a pillar and Pierce walks in.
You must be curious about this place. Do you know what cancer really is, Kay? I don't mean to mansplain to you, especially seeing as you've had some experience with it. I am sorry about your mother, by the way. Most people see it as a disease, but diseases are external invaders. Cancer, not so simple. It's our own selves betraying us. Each variant as unique as the person that it happens. Within these walls, I'm unlocking that enigma. Can you think of a greater legacy than that?
The fully limbed test subject claws his hands towards Kay. She falls back, startled, and runs away. Pierce grabs her and pulls her back. He fires a dart from his gun, but it misses, and Kay hides behind another pillar. Pierce puts the gun down. Kay emerges and slams a medical trolley into him. She jumps over the desk beside the mortuary shelves, but Pierce catches her on the other side. He pushes her onto the desk and she grabs a dissecting knife. Kay stabs the blunt end under Pierce's eye. Blood spurts out and he lets go of her. Kay sprints down the lift's corridor. She gets in, but struggles to squeeze behind Martin's bed. Pierce paces around the corner. Kay wheels Martin out and gets in. She presses the first floor button and the door slams shut in Pierce's face. The lift goes up. The lift door opens and Kay darts out. She runs through the garage and onto the driveway. A car is pulling up. Kay stands in its glaring headlights and it comes to a stop a few meters away. The door lifts up and Pierce's partner steps out.
Who are you?
Oh my God, please help me.
What is he playing at?
What?
I mean, you're younger than he usually goes for, but we have rules. If you're inviting someone over, give me a fucking heads up.
No, that's not what's happening here.
This is why he told me not to come back, isn't it? He told me he was working.
No, just listen to me, okay? We need to get out of here now.
Wait, why do I recognize you? You're the server from the party.
Yeah. You helped me with my necklace.
Wow, is that where he found you?
No, he didn't find me. I've been living here.
What? He asked you to move in?
No! Listen to me!
What happened?
Pierce! Please just keep down. Okay.
Did you fucking hurt him?
She pulls a gun.
I had to. Pierce, he is a fucking monster. And please,
move. No. Get in the house now.
Just listen to me.
Move.
Listen to me. Just move. Okay.
Move. Get going.
He's killing people. He's not who you think he is. Please.
Move now. Get in.
They go into the house.
Pierce, he's dangerous. Just listen to me, okay?
Keep moving. Pierce.
Look. I snuck in here after the party.
You've both been really fucking sneaky.
Look, I can prove it to you. I'm not crazy. I filmed everything.
What? What do you mean?
I don't have my phone, but I recorded it. There's some underground lab, and he has all these people there, and it's messed up, okay? Just listen to me, please. We're not safe here.
Okay, well, you sound psycho. Move!
Please!
Pierce!
Listen to me, I'm not lying! No, we have to run!
Oh my God, babe, your face!
Jess!
No, we have to run now!
You're back early.
Well, I tried to tell you earlier the shoot was postponed, but you didn't call me back. Who the fuck is she?
Oh, no, she's no one I meant to call. It's been a challenging evening.
Babe. We have rules. Open doesn't work without clear communication and boundaries.
Sweetheart, no, it's not like that. Give me the gun.
No, please. I'm begging you, do not give him the gun. Please.
She's been squatting here, hiding in our home.
Oh my God, that is so fucking creepy.
I promise you,
No way near as bad as what he's been doing.
Pierce looks amused and Jess turns to him.
She saw me with the rider. And then Nancy Drew here found the panel in the elevator.
She didn't ruin anything.
No, nothing I can't fix.
Jess passes him the pistol.
What the fuck is wrong with you people?
What's wrong with us? You're the one who's been creeping around watching us like a major perv. She has video. What if she sent it to someone?
She can't. The signal's blocked.
You're wrong. I had a front row seat when you drugged that guy. I filmed everything. And it all uploads automatically to my cloud, and other people have access to it. And they'll see. They'll see what you've been doing.
You're lying.
Jess's face drops.
Where is it, you bitch?
Let me go, and I'll tell you.
Pierce fires a dart into Kay's chest. She stumbles backwards into the glass statue and knocks it over. Kay trembles on the floor, and Jess looks irritated.
Shit. I love that piece.
You must be exhausted. Go relax. I'll join you when she's all prepped.
They kiss, and Jess walks off. Pierce goes to Kay.
You've wasted a lot of time this evening.
He crouches down.
But you're young and healthy. And that more than makes up for it.
Pierce lifts Kay upright on a restraining bed. She looks around with her eyes twitching, unable to speak. He wheels her through a dark underground corridor. Morning. A bright blue sky is adorned with wispy white clouds. Pierce's modern glass and concrete house sits on a cliff beside the ocean. Rye goes through the security gate and into the garden. He walks onto the decking and tries to open a house door, but it's locked. He lifts his hand to his brow and peers through the window. He sees nothing and knocks.
Kay!
Rye walks around the house. He gets to a window and makes a call.
Can you answer, please? I'm trying to get into the house. I need to take a shower for more reason than one, please.
Rye walks to the entrance by the kitchen. He opens the door and goes into the house.
Honey, I'm home! My other family say hello. Okay?
Rye drops his backpack on the kitchen island and looks around.
You okay?
He dives into their sleeping closet, expecting to find Kay and make her jump.
Kay?
Rye takes out his phone.
Hey, it's Kay. Leave a message. Or don't.
Hey, yo, I get you're mad about last night, but you could at least let me know before you bounce. I mean, whatever, I didn't get a lot of sleep last night, so I'm gonna enjoy the space all to myself now. And I guess I will see you at work.
He hangs up and contemplates for a moment, then walks away. Rye dives into the swimming pool and glides along the bottom. He puts on a pair of shades, then swims to the surface. He lies on the decking, sunbathing, with a glass of gin resting on his chest. Then relaxes on the pool float using his phone. Inside the house, he closes a cupboard door and swigs from a gin bottle. Rye walks around the kitchen island and places the gin at the end of it. He strolls away and drops a snack into his mouth. As he nibbles on it, Rye suddenly trips up and cuts his big toe. He pulls out the shard of glass and tosses it away.
Son of a bitch.
Rye turns around and goes up the staircase. The lift arrives at the kitchen floor and Jess strolls out wearing a white tank top splattered with blood. She walks down the passageway where Rye cut his toe as he finishes going up the stairs. Jess heads towards the kitchen. As she reaches the island, she sees the bottle of gin and picks it up.
Bitch drank my gin?
Rye's putting a plaster around his toe. He gets up and puts the first aid kit under the bathroom sink. He looks in the mirror and adjusts his hair. Kay's necklace is lying on top of a desk. Rye picks it up, looks thoughtful, and makes a phone call.
Hey, it's Kay. Leave a message. Or don't.
Yeah, I need you to call me back. I just need to know you're okay. Please.
He hears the lift and drops his head, relieved. Rye puts his phone away and walks towards it.
You've been trying to worry me to death? Okay?
He sees Pierce.
Hey, that you?
Yeah?
She cracked open the gin Elton gave us.
Rude.
Gotta hand it to her, though. She's a tough bitch.
Yeah, she's perfect.
You're sure no one's coming for her?
Look, I know I usually do a little more recon on her subjects, but I promise you it's fine. She's a runaway. We really lucked out on this one.
Speaking of new test subjects, the producer didn't give me the role. I went in a different direction.
Sweetie, we are not using the producer who turned you down. But we can buy out her studio and bankrupt her, though.
Jess smiles. She steps forward and puts her arms around Pierce. They kiss and his face lights up. Pierce approaches Jess from behind in the shower. Dried blood runs down their faces and he wipes away a patch on her neck. A puddle of blood forms around their feet while Rye sits down in the toilet room beside them, looking afraid. Pierce lightly bites Jess's neck and her jaw drops with pleasure. They fall forward onto a glass wall. Pierce puts an arm around her torso and he thrusts onto her from behind. She turns around and he holds her thigh up. They stare into each other's eyes with pleasure and Rye frowns. The puddle of blood slowly drifts towards the drain. At night, Pierce and Jess are cuddling on their bed while Rye sits in the toilet room listening.
I'm gonna head back down. Calibration's almost done.
They both sit up. Jess strokes her thumb across his cheek and they kiss. Rye quietly stands up. The pistol sits on a ledge outside the bathroom. Pierce and Jess finish kissing and she watches him walk away with a smile. She puts on her shirt. Rye sneaks out of the bathroom and spots the gun. Jess pulls her hair out from underneath her collar and gets to her feet. She turns around and sees Rye aiming the gun at her.
Are you?
Where is she? My friend, where is she?
Downstairs.
Take me there now.
Jess rolls her eyes and they go downstairs.
So, any more of you squatters skulking around? Oh wait, isn't it Froggers? What a weird name. Sounds sexual.
Just keep moving.
They head towards the kitchen.
Do you get a kick leeching off hardworking people?
You mean how your boyfriend gets a kick? Punching down on the little... Just move!
The audacity of you bottom feeders. You act as if the world owes you something when you contribute nothing.
Rule away with words.
You're making a mistake.
I'm making a mistake! Says the fucking psycho who kidnapped my friend!
Oh my God, again with the deflection. Your friend's choices landed her here, not me.
Shut up! Take me to her now.
Jess walks on and discreetly grabs a remote control. She presses a button and the house's sound system blares. Rye turns around startled, and Jess tries to snatch the gun. The shot smashes her gin. Jess knees him in the groin, he falls and the gun slides across the floor. Rye picks it up and they tussle for it.
I won't let you ruin everything!
He throws her and she lands on a spiked piece of art. The long metal spike impales through her stomach. She coughs out a mouthful of blood and Rye puts his hands on the back of his head, shocked. Pierce approaches the kitchen islands.
Jessica!
No, stop! Stop! Don't move! Stop!
Rye aims the gun at him.
I didn't mean it. It was an accident. I didn't mean to. I'm just looking for my friend! Where is my friend?
Pierce looks menacing. They go down in the lift with Rye aiming the gun at Pierce.
Do you know how rare it is to find someone who truly understands you? To lose that level of acceptance, it's a profound loss.
It was an accident. She came at me and it just happened.
What's your end game here?
I told you, I just want my friend and then I'm gonna get the fuck out of here, I promise.
I meant more broadly. Truly, you didn't dream of squatting in other people's homes.
I appreciate the deep dive, but I've got Brené Brown podcast for that.
Pierce looks thoughtful. The lift comes to an abrupt stop. The door slides open and Rye looks ahead at the dimly lit corridor, scared.
What the fuck? Move! Move!
Everything can be priced, except time. From where I stand, you seem to be squandering yours.
Uh-huh.
Every action has a purpose.
Shut the fuck up! Spare me the creepy psycho monologue and shut the fuck up!
They go down the corridor and into the lab where Martin's feeble body is on the mortuary bed.
Do you even realize the privilege you have right now? You stand at the precipice of history.
Okay?
Wouldn't you like to be a footnote in its making?
Pierce turns to him, looking proud.
Okay? Okay?
Rye walks through the lab while aiming the gun at Pierce. He reaches the mortuary bed and looks horrified. Martin's torso is roughly stitched together with protruding clumps of yellowing flesh bursting through.
What the fuck did you do?
An acceleration of metastasis.
What does that mean?
What would naturally take years, I've achieved in minutes. This optimizes the cellular environment for the rapid proliferation of cancer cells.
Rye turns to Pierce, shocked.
You gave him cancer?
Mm.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
To reach greatness, one must occasionally defy nature's pace. Few can fathom a vision that soars above the confines of an ordinary...
Where is she?
Pierce looks over at the cell growth chamber. Rye turns to its porthole window. Pierce discreetly picks up a knife from the table beside him. Kay gradually wakes up, lying on a blue sheet. She sits up and places a hand on her forehead, depleted. Behind her, the severed leg of the bearded test subject dangles over the floor. She looks up at the bright light above her, squinting, then turns around to him. Kay is startled. The subject feebly twitches his fingers and tilts his head back. Kay gets on her knees and tries to open the enclosure's door. Pierce walks towards her and shows her CCTV footage through the glass of Rye strapped to a chair beside the chamber.
Your friends bought you some more time. I can start on him.
Please don't do this.
He turns back to her.
I could make it easier on him, but I will need your phone.
Kay looks at a key card lying on a trolley outside the enclosure.
Okay. The guest room.
Which one?
Third floor. Inside. Check the closet drawers. And you'll let him go?
I didn't say that. I said it would be easier for him.
She turns around and notices a large gas tank with a long plastic pipe attached to the top. She removes the pipe and feeds it under the enclosure's door, aiming for the trolley. She flicks it from side to side and tries to grip the trolley's wheel. Kay looks desperate. She manages to get the end of the pipe around the wheel and smiles. She pulls the pipe towards her and the trolley moves a fraction closer. The pipe detaches from the wheel and Kay frantically tries to re-hook it. She reattaches the pipe and pulls at it. It doesn't connect properly and disconnects from the wheel. She pulls the pipe back into the enclosure and slumps over on her hands and knees, panting heavily. The test subject's eyes turn to her and he moves his head around in a circle. Kay looks at him, then Rye steps through the lab's doorway.
Riley!
Yes.
He runs to her.
Are you okay?
I've been better.
Rye grabs the keycard and opens her door. They hug and Kay steps out.
He's a fucking monster, Rye. All these people, they're nothing but test subjects to him.
Kay, we have to call the police.
Dude, he has a fucking signal jammer on the house. We can't call out.
No, not anymore. I used mine earlier, it works.
Where is it?
The fucker took it. We need your phone.
Let's go.
No,
just leave.
No, Kay, listen. By the time we find anybody, all of this will be gone and all of these people will be dead.
There's no way he could get rid of everything.
Kay, this is Pierce Patton. We have to take him out tonight or he's going to use all of his resources to come after us.
Okay, it's over there. Key card.
They walk to Lara's enclosure. And Rye passes Kay the key card. She opens the door and picks up her phone from the floor.
Okay, let's go.
Kay walks out and Rye aims the gun at her.
Riley, where did you get that? Riley!
Sorry. I swear to God, I came down here to rescue you, but then...
What are you doing?
I'm just tired of being dirt fucking poor, Kay.
Kay backs away.
No, Kay!
She walks away. Rye aims the gun at the floor and shoots. She turns back.
I thought we were friends.
We are. We're just so fucking naive, Kay.
What?
You think this is okay? Do you think I like living like this? Homeless? You have somewhere to go. So what, you and your dad had an argument, at least you have someone. You never needed this, and I do!
Kay nods as tears fall from her eyes. She walks towards him.
Stop.
I trusted you.
I told him not to hurt you.
Careful. White lies catch up to you.
Pierce shows Kay CCTV footage.
10 mil. But I never want to see or hear from you again.
What'll happen to Kay?
Part of the deal is asking no questions. Get me your phone. And you're a millionaire overnight.
She turns to Rye.
It's in her pocket.
Kay tries to go, but Pierce blocks her.
You're a fucking idiot. You know that. What, you think he's actually gonna pay you? You're as fucked as I am.
I'm the one with the fucking budget.
Lara reaches out and grabs Rye back. He falls to the floor and the gun slides to Pierce's feet. Kay sprints down a passageway. Pierce picks up the gun and reaches into his pocket. He steps around Rye and places a transdermal patch on Lara's neck.
Shh, Lara. It's okay.
A body goes limp and Rye looks terrified. Pierce aims the gun at him and fires into his chest. Blood sprays out and he hits the floor. Kay hears the gunshot and comes to a sudden stop. She looks back, crying, then runs to the lift. She presses the button several times and thumps on the door desperately.
Come on, open! Open, please!
The door stays shut. Kay turns back around, composing herself with deep breaths. She takes her phone out of her pocket, looks at the screen, then stares down the corridor with a defiant expression. Rye's on a mortuary table, dried blood runs down his body and a silver plug sits in his bullet hole. Kay walks down the corridor, approaching the lab.
Even in a deceased host, organs are still of value, as long as I act now. I wouldn't get too choked up about it. He was a terrible friend.
Please just let me go.
Fine.
Kay reluctantly walks towards Pierce. They look into each other's eyes and she passes him her phone. She steps back and he swipes the screen.
Passcode.
2005.
Huh. Let me guess, the year you were born. Really? I feel old.
He swipes through selfies of her and Rye.
Where's the video you took of our dear journalist friend?
Kay looks guilty and Pierce stares back ominously.
You didn't film anything, did you?
No. I don't even have a cloud account.
What a waste of fucking time. Oh. Okay. This disease has already taken so much from you.
He presses buttons on a machine, then walks over to the chamber.
A more merciful experience for you. I have to admit, you've been a challenging adversary. Is this resilience something you got from your mother? How invasive was it? Did she...
His eyelids become heavy.
Did she...
Pierce loses his balance and falls back against the open chamber door. Kay looks falsely empathetic.
What did you do?
She picks up a rubber glove from the trolley between Martin and Rye and puts it on.
What was it you said earlier?
She walks towards Pierce.
It needs directness to work its magic.
His face drops and he pulls out a phone from his pocket. He sees a transdermal patch stuck to the back of it, and Kay smiles.
Bitch.
She chuckles and walks towards him. Her smile fades and she takes her phone from his hand.
Yeah, I do take after her. My mom was a fucking fighter.
Kay pushes him into the chamber and slams the door shut. She twists the wheel lock several times and the lights inside flash. Kay peers through the porthole and sees smoke rise. She walks away, tosses a rubber glove down and picks up the keycard. Pierce's hand reaches for the window, burns and collapses back down again. Kay calmly strolls through a low-lit passageway and exhales, exhausted. She turns a corner and a dark figure watches her from behind. Kay turns onto a different corridor and hobbles up it, drained. She sees the elevator ahead and walks towards it with an elated smile. Pierce suddenly emerges behind her. His cheekbone is caved in and the side of his nose swells with a tumour. He throws his arms around Kay and drags her to the floor. He flips her onto her back and strangles her. The side of his face is covered with pasty, rippling flesh. Kay knees him in the buttocks. He falls off her and she crawls towards the lift. Pierce grabs her foot, but she kicks him in the face with her other leg. Kay gets to the lift, taps the keycard, and the door opens. She gets in and presses the first floor button. Pierce charges towards her as the door closes. The door shuts on his head. It explodes and showers Kay with blood and clumps of flesh that cover her and dribbles down the walls. A puddle of blood forms at the base of the door, and Kay looks down at her drenched clothes. Pierce's blood runs from Kay's forehead, trickling down her eyelids. She tilts her head back and chuckles as the lift rises. Kay opens the house's front door. She limps down the driveway, drenched in blood, and sits on the ground, exhausted. She closes her eyes briefly, takes the necklace out of her pocket, and holds it tight. She closes her eyes with a sad smile, then red and blue lights flash on the side of her face. Kay takes another deep breath, composing herself, and pulls out her phone. She lifts it to her ear and stares ahead, shaking. End credits, written and directed by Jem Garrard. Starring Cozy Nagema, Francis Shuler, Matthew Vay. Alex McGregor. Executive producers Lance Samuels, Daniel Irons, Samantha Levine. Producers Adam Friedlander, Tibogo Mela. Line producer Darren Cameron, casting director Bonnie Lee Booman, CSA, director of photography Trevor Calverley. Production designer Bobby Cardoso, costume designer Kerry Ann Barnard, edited by David Travail. Music by Pressure Cooker. Rolling credits continue on screen. Logos for Blue Ice Pictures, Blue Ice Africa, the DTIC. Copyright 2024, 2B Inc., all rights reserved.